Okay, well, good afternoon to each one. I'll be real honest with you all. When Jonas asked me if I wanted to share this afternoon, I didn't feel like I should be the one up here sharing this topic. But I want to be mindful of the Lord, and plus Jonas wouldn't take no. So, I was blessed and privileged to study this out this morning. I got up early and I've been thinking about it for the last couple of weeks. But when I actually sat down and just put my mind to it, I was blessed to be able to look at this topic. If you all have a paper today, "A Vision to Teach Our Children" is the headline on the top of the page there. And the idea was here is that we have a desire to gather together as families for an afternoon of learning together in the area of teaching our children the principles of the Lord and of the Lord Jesus and His kingdom to help prepare them for the future in the kingdom of our God. We desire to create an atmosphere of accountability with each other to help inspire and challenge us to press into the divine role of teaching our precious children at all ages. The teaching doesn't stop when they leave school. As long as they're in our home, I think we're responsible to teach them. So, at the beginning here, I'd like to make clear that when we talk about homeschooling or schooling our children, we're not talking simply about the act of homeschooling, but it's raising our children, teaching our children, so it applies to all of us. Whether we homeschool or we send our children to school or whatever we do, it applies to each one of us. If we have children, if we're expecting children, this applies to us today. And as we gather today to talk about homeschooling, the desire is to learn from each other, as we read there, or to inspire each other and to learn from others' mistakes. That's usually how we learn the best, is when we make a mistake, we learn that we don't want to do it that way again. Or I find that in my life. I keep coming back to this thought. Homeschooling our children is much more, much deeper than just learning math and spelling and language arts or those kind of topics. It's much deeper than that. It's more involved. We read here in our heading, it's to prepare or teach our children the principles of the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom. To prepare them for the future in the kingdom of God. That's the ultimate goal. And along the way, they learn math, and they learn language arts, and they learn social studies or whatever it may be. Psalm 127, verse 3 says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." I was looking at this word heritage this morning, and I was kind of struck with something. The definition of this word, it means something inherited, an heirloom, a portion, or a possession. I was looking at the word heirloom. If we're familiar with the word heirloom, we don't typically do this, but there's in society, they'll have an heirloom or like a piece of furniture that great-grandpa had that gets passed down through the ages, through the generations, and it's a valuable piece of furniture. It might be a painting. Usually, a lot of times it seems to be furniture or something like that. It might be an old car or something. And it's a valuable something that somebody had generations before. Well, God calls our children an heirloom. And I was struck with that. It's a valuable something that was given to us. It was given to us, entrusted to us, but it goes on for more than several generations. It's for an eternity. That's the blessing of the special treasure of our children. And don't let the world's ideas and the world's ideas of children and large families creep into your mind. Children are not a burden. They're a blessing. We see that, we face that in society when we, I have three children, but my brother Matt, he has 7 or 8 children, and I've seen people's reactions when he tells them how many children they have. Their eyes bug out and their jaw drops and they make these comments. And don't let the world's ideas tell you that children are a burden. A responsibility, yes, but not a burden. A treasure, an heirloom, it says. A valuable gift, not just for today, but for eternity. And so God has trusted to us as parents this precious gift. But He's also given us a responsibility to teach them, to train them up in His ways. And as I said earlier, whether it's in homeschool or whether you send them to school or whatever you do, we're to teach them the ways of the Lord. It says in Proverbs to train up a child in the way that he should go. In Deuteronomy, I'm going to read a few verses here in chapter 4, if you have your Bibles. I got a new Bible here, so I'm trying to find my way through it. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting in verse 9. It says, Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Unless they depart from all thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Especially the day that thou hast stood before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto thee, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, and they shall learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. These are familiar verses. Also in chapter 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and all thy might. Thank you. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou rise up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and there shall be frontlets between thine eyes. And I shall write them on the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I know in the beginning of my Christian life, when we started putting verses up on the walls, we used these kind of verses to justify what we were doing. But I think it's deeper than that. But this verse 6 caught my attention this morning. And these words which I command thee this day, this is God's word when he's commanding Israel, he said, this shall be in thine heart. And then he said, when it's in your heart, teach your children. And he says to do it diligently. I thought, that's interesting that we can't teach something or we can't show our children something that's not real to us first. What's within our hearts, we can't teach them. We can't teach them a truth that we ourselves don't embrace. And I thought of the Muslim people, the extreme Muslim people. They're diligent in teaching their children from the time they're little. They teach them to hate. They teach them to kill. They teach them to embrace the Muslim theology from the time they're from the little on up. And how much more should we teach the truth to our children that we have the truth of the Word of God? They have a lie. They teach their children a lie that Christians and Jews are the infidels, and they believe that. And it's hard to change a Muslim's mind. It almost takes an act of God to change his mind when he's taught that. But how much more should we be taught teaching our children the ways of Jesus Christ and the truth of the Word of God from the time they're little? And sad to say, we probably we we get lazy at times, or I do. I get lazy at times and don't do this diligently. But I was challenged this morning with and renewed in my vision to do that diligently. So that's the vision today behind this meeting today, is to strengthen that vision, to inspire us to in the idea of homeschooling or teaching our children, that if it's in our hearts as parents to inspire the idea of homeschooling our hearts as parents, but also to you children that are sitting here today, to help equip us as we go forward in our homes and our families. So what does it mean to have a vision to teach our children? There's a difference between a vision and having a dream. If we have a dream for something, it's different than having a vision for something. I found this quote or this saying today, or this morning. It says, "Dreams are like drifts of the imagination, as one imagines clouds in the sky. But a vision is a scripted effort to effect change." I thought I'd just write that down. I was blessed with that. These things get put back in there, then they're dry. I was blessed with that quote. So if we have a vision for our home, if we develop a vision for our home, we're going to make some efforts to effect a change. And we take that to homeschool. If we see things where we're lacking, and we make some scripted efforts, or we make some effort to affect the change of our direction. The word education simply means the bringing up of a child. I got this from the Strong's Dictionary. I was blessed with this. Or not Strong's, I'm sorry. Webster's, 1828. I was blessed with this definition. It's kind of a long one, but it's I was just encouraged by it. So education is the bringing up of a child in instruction for the formation of manners. Education comprehends all the series, comprehends all the instruction and discipline which is intended to enlighten the understanding, to correct the temper, and from the manners and habits of youth, and fit them for the usefulness of their future. To give children a good education in manners, arts and science is important, but to give them a religious education is indispensable, and an immense responsibility rests on parents and guardians who neglect the duties. The word indispensable, so to give, he's saying, or the definition is saying, that to teach or to educate our children is important, but it's indispensable to teach them religion, is the word he uses, or teach them the principles of the Word of God. So something that's indispensable is, I mean, you can't do without it. Air and water to us are indispensable. We can't do without air and water. I was just blessed, there's a long definition there that they had in the Webster's, but I thought it fit very well with what we're trying to come across with today, that to teach and to train our children up in the way they should go is indispensable, if I can say the word. I'd like to say that if you are here and do not homeschool your children, it is by no means condemning you. You're still responsible to teach your children the ways of God and train them up in the ways of the Lord. homeschooling takes all that are involved, dad, mom, and the children. And they each one got to give it their all. Sometimes an attitude change is needed. Thought of this morning, I don't know how many years ago this was, we did a lot of custom homes, and they were big, steep, tall homes, and I got to a point, I got so discouraged from building those homes, I dreaded getting up in the morning and going to work. I mean, I didn't want to do it anymore. I was burned out. I was tired, and it made for some long, discouraging days. And it went on for I don't know a year. I don't know how long it was, but I mean, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know how. I just endured it. I just went to work, and it wasn't a joy. It wasn't fun. I hated it, you could say. And I went on that way for a period of time. I don't know, it was a year or so. And somewhere the Lord brought, I wasn't converted, or I don't think I was converted. And somewhere I got the idea that if I develop or embrace what I'm doing, it'll change my perspective. If I embrace what I'm doing and just, instead of enduring it, just go make the most of it. And it'll change my perspective of going to work every day, and it did. It didn't change the fact that we were still doing the same thing, but it made my days bearable, and I could do it with a semblance of joy. Not joy, but I don't know how to say. It changed my way of my heart and doing. I just did it, but it changed my... I wasn't carrying this big, heavy burden around anymore. I still did the same things, but... I was able to endure it with more of a joy in my heart, and it wasn't such a heavy load. And I thought of that this morning, that a positive attitude will go a long way in making the task at hand more enjoyable. It takes away the drudgery and makes it doable. So I think with homeschooling, sometimes we can develop this mentality or this heart that, well, it's morning again, and here goes school again. And I think if we have a change of art, attitude or heart toward this subject, it might change the way that our day goes, is why I share that. A father must be involved in the day-to-day basis of teaching. He usually is not involved in the actual teaching part, but he needs to be very hands-on and to know what's happening day by day in the home, especially in the schoolroom. I tell my boys that mom's the teacher, but I'm the principal. We all know what a principal is. He runs the school. If we as fathers are too busy or preoccupied with other things and neglect to be involved, it'll make the schooling part of life much harder on our families. Back to Deuteronomy 6:6, it says it must be in your heart. So if the schooling part of life is dear to your heart as a father, you'll be involved. We must be involved to make it go, properly, I think. We need to be available with a phone call or a time to sit down and talk things over with our children or our wives. Every once in a while, my wife will call me at work. She's having a struggle, and we need to be able to take time and hear and listen and give answers as we can. We as husbands can't let the whole load of responsibility of our children's education fall on our wives, but we carry it together. The wife or the mother has the most of the responsibility in the home day by day, but we as husbands are to help carry that load in any way that we can. Let's not be so consumed by work responsibilities that we neglect the most important responsibility, which is our family. And I'll be the first to admit I have some room to grow. I said earlier that it takes There's three elements in the home that it takes to make this dad, mom, and the children. So the children I'm going to address next. And I'd like for you to pay attention and listen. If you're in here and you're in school, you probably play the biggest role in your education, in your homeschooling, whether it's a success or it's a failure. Your attitude in your schooling from day to day makes your mother's responsibility a joy or a burden. How you respond to school and going and doing homeschool or going to school, how you respond makes all the difference, I believe. For you to get an education is a part of life. Whether you want to or not, you're going to do it. You're going to get an education. Whether you go to school or whether your mom schools you or a teacher comes in and schools you, you're going to get an education. So how you respond or how you embrace this part of your life is going to make you or break you, they say. And I tell my boys that you're going to do school, so you might as well embrace it with joy because it's going to make it easier. Colossians 3:23 says that whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. The word heartily there means with zeal, with eagerly. I thought of this. This afternoon, you're gonna here in a little bit. You're gonna go outside and you're gonna play some games outside. With that same zeal that you go outside and play that game, go to your school, go to your work, go to your math, go to your history, your language arts. With that same zeal, and you'll be amazed at the difference it'll make. If you develop this kind of desire to do your schooling, you'll be surprised how much easier you'll find it to do and how much better you'll do. Give you a little secret. As children, us as parents need the same reminder. We need the same reminder to do it heartily as unto the Lord. So you're not alone in that. Thought of this morning, my son Andrew is in his last year of school, and I don't know where those years went. In a few short years, your life of schooling will be over, but that life, those few short years, will mold you for your adult life. How you apply yourself, with the attitude that you go into it with, it'll affect you for your life, for your whole life. I carry habits today that I had in school. I still carry those same habits today. And you just witnessed them a little bit ago. I can't read my own writing sometimes. I have bad writing habits. And it came from school, and it carried through for my life. And if I'm not careful when I'm writing, I write sloppy, and I can't read my own writing. So those habits that you develop in school and during your growing up years will follow you. And it'll mold you, and it'll affect you. I think it'll even affect your spiritual life as you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you can learn at a young age to fulfill your responsibilities with joy, it'll be a blessing to you later. When the Lord calls you, it'll affect you. As you become a Christian, as you walk in life. I say all this to you children as an encouragement that you walk through this time of your life with joy, with a willing and submissive heart to your parents. And when you become a Christian and you walk in a church, you have that same willing and submissive heart that can be easily guided. That's a bigger deal than we think, I think, sometimes. Those little habits that we develop as children, if we have a rebellious, stubborn spirit, God does amazing things in our life, but sometimes those little stubborn spirits can follow right through. And so just as an encouragement to you as children, embrace the time that you're in, enjoy it. Be a blessing to your mother, be a blessing to your father. Have a submissive heart. And I think you'll find that if you're struggling in school, that I think things will open up. I just believe they do. I believe they will. To the mothers today, you carry the greatest responsibility in homeschooling. I'm sure you all feel the pressure of it at times. But if God has asked us to do something in His Word, He also provides the way or the means. God would never give us a command and call us to a task if we would not have the ability to do it. That's the blessing of God's Word. If we see something in His Word, He's provided the way and the means to do it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, "As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." This life and godliness, He's given us all things that pertain to life. So to walk through this life, to do homeschooling, to teach our children, to raise families, He's given us all things if we just ask. We believe that God's grace is sufficient for salvation. Would not His grace be sufficient for the rest of life? I believe that you as mothers set the course for your homeschool by your attitude toward it. If you embrace it, if it's in your heart, and it's, Stefan said here a little bit ago, it's not easy. It's not always easy. There's challenges. But isn't life challenges? There's challenges in life. So as we embrace those challenges, and as we are encouraged toward raising our children and teaching our children of God's ways, and along with it come schooling, as you embrace that with joy. And joy is, remember, joy is not, we've heard this described to us, happiness is based on circumstances. Joy is based on, I can't get it, but joy is not based on your circumstances. Joy is looks beyond the circumstances to the reward. So if you face life, the school year, with joy and determination to prosper, your children will also. I think too often we cave to this, and I call it an unspoken pressure. The pressure around us to measure up to a certain standard of life. In this community, we get pressured. We get, in this culture that we live in, there's a certain pressure to measure up to a certain standard. And I think you as mothers probably face it greater than we as men. And we feel condemned if we don't meet some kind of perceived idea of a lifestyle and what that standard is. I'm going to share a little story here. I'm going to try to share this without sharing who it was, but a young lady got married, and she was in this community, and she looked around, and she's seen all these people's beautiful gardens, and not a weed out of place, not a weed here, and everything's just beautiful, and everything's just wonderful. So she got married, and less than a year, I think, a child come along, and they tried to do garden, and she struggled, and they struggled to do gardening, because as she's seen, oh, we got to have a garden. I mean, we're Christians, aren't we? And we got to have gardens. And another one come along, another baby come along, and I think it was the third baby come along, and they finally, the husband said, "We can't do a garden. I'll buy your beans, and I'll help you, and we just can't do it." They were too busy with babies, they were too busy. But they felt condemned because there was this unspoken pressure to measure up to this idea that we all have these beautiful gardens. And they just had to see through it. They had to see through that, well, this time of their life, they couldn't do it. Now they can. Their children are older and they have helpers. Now they can do their garden. But in that point of life, I remember that they shared with me that was a struggle. They were trying to find their way through that. But there was a nobody told them they had to do a garden. But there was that unspoken pressure to measure up to a certain standard. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm using that as an example. We need to see beyond the temporal to the eternal. Our children are eternal. Gardens are temporal. It's a blessing to have a garden. It's a blessing to do gardens. But it's temporal. We need to focus on the eternal. In the light of eternity, will it really matter if I mop my floor today? Not really. Now, I appreciate a clean house, but let's keep it in perspective. Our houses are our dwelling places, not our showpieces. It's where we live. I would say that any visitor to your home will notice an obedient, well-behaved, respectful child much quicker than whether your home is spotless or the windows have a little handprint on it. I say that because that's what I'll notice first. And I think we can all identify with that. But there's this unspoken pressure within our setting. And I'm not saying just here, but I mean we grew up with this keeping up with the neighbors. And I think we need to have a reset in our mind that there's more important things than keeping all the little handprints off the windows of our homes if we have children. And I'm not saying it's wrong to hear my heart. I say all this as an encouragement to keep our vision in mind, our goal, the making of little disciples of Jesus in our homes, in our schoolrooms. Remember, our calling as parents is to mold and shape our children for eternity. That is one of the blessings of a homeschool, teaching and molding them to be followers of Jesus with an education to have the skills to go through life wherever God may lead them. I have a few practical points or ideas as we can implement into our homes. These are not all my ideas, but as we sat together as a board and as the ministry put some input into this with their ideas, so we took a little collection of ideas, and I'm going to share on a few of them. Make your homeschool or your children's education a part of your prayer life. Encourage your children to pray for it, to pray about their schooling. I don't know how this started in our home, but my boys started praying about the night before they will pray about their day tomorrow, to help them through their schooling, to help them in their... It's a blessing to hear them pray that way. They pray for a good day tomorrow in the school and to make their hearts that they can learn readily. I don't know what all... I can't even tell you what they pray, but make it a part of your daily prayer life. It's a blessing to hear your children pray that way, to have open minds to learn. And I thought of this verse. It says, you have not because you ask not. That's taken out of context. But I want to apply it here. We have not because we ask not. If we make our children's education and our abilities as parents to teach and to guide, if we make that part of our daily prayer life, God will answer. God will give us the abilities and the resources. Another point that was brought out, that to remember that it's not a competition. It's not a competition between my house and your house and this family and that family to see who does it better. That's not what it's about. That's the beauty of homeschooling. There's differing ways. We can do things in differing ways and come to the same end goal. The Bible says that those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. What works for me or us in our home might not work for you. But we need to find out what works best for us and not be overly concerned with how others are doing it. But also to remember that we're all the same. Not one of us are more valuable or more important than another. We're all one in Christ Jesus. And in saying that, don't be afraid to ask for advice or direction when we face those difficulties. Sometimes we're embarrassed to ask for help. We're embarrassed because what would people say or what would people think? They don't think I have the ability, but that's not the case. We all have learning to do. And sometimes it's better just to ask. Another point, and keep moving here. Another point is structure. A structure in the home. Or specifically, a time to start and a time to finish. This creates within our children discipline that will benefit them for life. When I went to school, my mother had a very, or she wasn't strict about this, but she pushed us to go to bed a certain time because tomorrow's school. Because we had to get up early and be out in the driveway waiting on the bus. And she was a stickler on that. You need to go to school, you need to go to bed so you can get your rest. And I think that's important. If we go to bed late, then we get up late, and we're tired. I think it's important that we can set a pattern in our children or in our home or in our children's lives to get rest, that our minds can be clear in the morning. That's another blessing. I tell my last winter, one day I was home from work, the snow was flying, and my boys were in the schoolroom doing school, and I told them that they're blessed, that they can get up out of their warm beds, and they can make themselves a cup of hot chocolate and go set it on their school desk, and their mom's teaching them in a warm house. Your children are blessed to be able to have these things. If I went to school and I was late getting up and wasn't out at the end of the driveway by the road when the bus came, I missed school. I would just miss school. There wasn't someone to run me to school. And I want to say that I'm not talking about that at 6 a.m. school starts every day no matter what. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a pattern of starting on a regular basis, and that the children know that by such and such a time we're going to be starting school, and we're going to be done by such and such a time. It creates a pattern of in their mind or in their life, it creates this pattern of being on time. And I think I'll just leave that. Children, a lot of this lies with you. I'm putting a lot of responsibility on children today, but I think it's okay. A lot of this is going to, if you put it in your heart to take a responsibility that when mom or dad say it's time to get up, you get up, get ready to face the day. Not that you don't have to be dragged out of bed every morning and coaxed out of bed, but get up and get going. Get your clothes on, get your teeth brushed, or whatever you do, and get ready for school. You learn this discipline at a young age, it'll affect you for life. It's our responsibility as parents to keep motivating our children to do that, because they're like we are. They can get lazy just like we can. If we develop these bad habits as young people or as little children, those bad habits will follow us. And if us as parents have these bad habits, our children will have the same bad habits, more than likely. So I think that part of our life is more important than we give it credit for. Orderliness, timeliness, just setting that pattern. Another point: stir up in the home the desire to learn, make it exciting, enjoyable. In our home, there's differing ways you can do this. One thing we do is we have a good mark, bad mark system in our home. If they do well on a test, they get 100, they get a good mark on a chart. And so many good marks, they have a good attitude about the day. Ruth might give them a good mark. And so many good marks, there's a reward. And it doesn't have to be anything big or fancy or just little rewards. Bad attitudes, disobedience, also equals a bad mark. And so many bad marks also merits a reward. In your discussion groups this afternoon, you guys can talk more about those things. More ideas can be shared by what you do in your homes and as an encouragement to each other. Another point that was brought up is the value of book learning over Google learning, I call it. Going to Google for everything. It's much easier just to Google it versus getting out a dictionary or encyclopedia off the shelf and searching it out. I found something interesting. It's a proven fact. When you take a book and you read something off of a page, it sticks in your mind better than reading it off a screen. Something about your eyes, when you stare at a screen, the research they did, they said when you stare at a screen, your eyes are fixed. You don't blink as much as when you read out of a book. And something about that ruins your eyes and also it affects your brain. Interesting thought. And I don't have, I don't feel I could do justice to that subject today. But it'd be good to be taught more about it, I think. There's something about book learning versus screen learning, as they call it. And this is coming from research, from not from Christian perspective. It's coming from just from a secular education perspective. But that'd be a deep topic to discuss. So in closing today, let's remember it's much more than just teaching our children an education of math or language arts or any subject. It's teaching them to observe all things in what the Lord has taught us and making them disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. I was looking through my tablet here that I take my notes in, and sometime I had made this note that was right next to my page. It says, failure doesn't come from a lack of desire, but a lack of commitment or resolve from the heart. Earlier I read that in Deuteronomy, that if it's in your heart, if it's within your heart, then you can teach your children likewise. And I think that's where it begins. You know, we hear that saying that all that matters is the heart. Well, it's very, very true. If it's in our hearts, if the Lord's teaching and His ways are in our hearts, then we want to teach it to our children likewise. God bless you.